Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
If you are a regular listener to the Beacon Broadcast, then you probably know that yesterday we moved into 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and into a third problem in the church. The 1 Corinthian epistle addresses a lot of problems in that church. The first one was divisions in the church, cliques, wranglings and disputing over things that should not have caused divisions, but they did, and that was so serious that Paul took four chapters to deal with it. It's not a trivial matter. Secondly, there was the problem of immorality in the church. Immorality practiced by, as far as we know, only one church member, one man who was living in open immorality and was not repentant, would not acknowledge it, would not quit doing it, and the church was tolerating it. And Paul said, whoa, you are way out of line here. And Paul's denunciation was as strong for the church in failing to deal with this problem as he was with the man who was involved in the sin. Now, his judgment of the man was very severe as well, but he was also very, very, what should I say, angry, very, very disappointed and irritated with the church at Corinth for failing to take action, and he therefore instructs them what to do and how to do it. He doesn't give them an option. Now, this would be a good idea. This is what I would recommend. I would suggest that you do the following. No, he says this is what you must do. It's got to be done. Immorality in the church. But in chapter 6, we come to a third problem, which is the scandal of Christians taking Christians to court instead of settling their issues within the church. What a novel idea. And that's one of the things we're going to be looking at as we go through this section. This clear command that churches are not only qualified, but are instructed to settle these kinds of matters among their members. And yet, we live in an age where some people would find that very strange, very, very novel, very unsatisfactory and unwelcome to many people, but it ought not to be, and that's what Paul is teaching us here. So I pause and welcome you to this Tuesday, August 24 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And I'm so thankful that God has touched the hearts of some of you to help us with the cost of maintaining this ministry on this station. Well, the situation is described in verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before saints? Paul talks like he can't believe it. He can't believe they would do this. Of course they should settle it in church. Of course it should be settled among the saints, among the members of the church. I can't believe that you're doing this, that you're going outside the church to deal with these matters. But they were. And Paul says that's the wrong way to go about it. But before he tells them exactly what they are to do, he reminds them of some things that he had taught them when he was there. And that is that Christians will one day judge the world, and Christians will one day judge angels. Angels aren't really part of this world. But this world is headed for judgment. It's headed for a great judgment. It's headed for a great white throne judgment when all of the wicked are going to be judged by God and all of their deeds are going to be revealed and they're going to be evaluated in a judgment setting. And something that hasn't been made real clear before, but here it is now, that saints are not going to be mere spectators watching what God is doing and judging the world. Saints are going to be involved. They're going to participate in some way. And likewise, saints will not only judge the world, verse 2, but saints will also judge angels, that is, demons and the devil himself. And if saints are capable of being involved in judgment at that level, don't you think that you can trust God to use these saints to take care of relatively minor matters in the church now? Now, it's true that when a person has a quarrel with somebody else, that many times it doesn't seem like a minor matter to them. Every matter that pertains to me is a major matter. What I might view a similar matter is minor with somebody else, but if it's me, it's major. And that's the way we often feel. But Paul says, you've got to understand that this sort of thing is supposed to be settled in church, not in the world, not before unbelievers. So have confidence in God's people. He says in verse 4, if then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? Now, that's a challenging verse to translate, but in essence, here's exactly what Paul is saying. Do you appoint unbelievers to judge those? Do you appoint unbelievers to judge? Unbelievers who have no standing in the church? They're not even qualified to be members of the church. And yet you are appealing to them to judge matters between Christians? Or wouldn't it be better to take those in the church who are of the least esteem within the church as being more competent to judge between Christians than unbelievers? You get the point? Christians are more competent to judge than unbelievers. That's what he's saying. Even the most esteemed judge who's an unbeliever outside the church is inferior in his ability to judge well to the least esteemed saints within the church. We all recognize that there are people in the church that we hold in high esteem because, well, they have earned our respect. They have demonstrated their knowledge of Scripture. They've demonstrated their wisdom. They've demonstrated their competence, their godliness. They are mature Christians. They are knowledgeable Christians. They have demonstrated much of the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. We hold them in high esteem. And Paul isn't saying here that we should bypass those and go to the least mature members of the church to do this judging. What he's saying is, by way of comparison, the least mature believer who is actually a believer is more competent to judge than the most honorable judge who is an unbeliever. Those who are outside the church are inferior in their ability to judge than those who are inside the church because, presumably, those who are inside the church are genuine born-again believers. And if they're not, or if they aren't acting like they are, they need to be removed. And that takes us back, of course, to chapter 5. And what Paul is saying, in essence, is that spiritual wisdom outranks secular qualifications. Let that sink in. I don't think we believe that. But he's saying spiritual wisdom outranks secular qualifications. Here's a judge, learned, esteemed. In our day, he is probably, before he became a judge, he was a lawyer, highly educated, highly trained, highly qualified, has at least, at the very least, 7 or 8 years of higher education beyond high school, college, and then law school, and has passed the bar exam, which isn't easy. Some people have to take it several times before they're able to pass it, as you know, and some finally give up, even though they've been through law school. Some take it several times and never manage to pass it and finally give up in spite of their years of law school. And apparently they graduated from law school. They still aren't competent to pass the bar. So here's somebody who has been through the education, high quality, high degree of education, high level of education, has passed the bar exam, has served as an attorney for a number of years, and his performance in that arena has qualified him to be appointed, to become a judge. And a lot of attorneys, that is their aspiration. That's their goal. They want someday to become a judge. And that, of course, comes in our system by appointment of the governor or something like that. And people who reach that degree, we consider to be highly, highly, highly qualified, yes. And as far as secular qualifications are concerned, that is true. But Paul says that in judging matters between Christians, which requires a certain degree of spiritual understanding, spiritual insight, that believers who may not be well-educated at all, there are all kinds of members in the Church of Corinth, there were some who were slaves and perhaps had little or no education at all. Maybe couldn't even read or write. That's what he could be referring to here as the least esteemed. If you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? Those who are least esteemed in the church are still, Paul is saying, as I said, that verse 4 is a tough one to translate, but what he's saying is, those who are the least esteemed within the church because they are believers are actually better qualified to judge than those who are outside the church because they're not Christians, no matter how qualified and how educated they may be, because, and I say it again, spiritual wisdom outranks secular qualifications. We have a hard time getting our minds wrapped around that one. We hear it, but do we really believe it? We have a hard time believing that one. We generally respect people in the world who are highly educated. If somebody has a PhD or some other kind of a doctor's degree, we generally hold them in high regard, and we consider them to be superior in wisdom and knowledge and understanding and being able to deal with the issues of life. But Paul says, not necessarily so. And then he goes on in verse 5 to say, I say this to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? Churches have wise, mature believers. Now he's not telling us to select the immature, the least esteemed. He's just simply making a point by way of contrast that even the least esteemed in the church are better qualified in many ways than those who are outside the church, no matter how high their qualifications. But every church has wise, mature believers. Therefore, you ought to be looking to them, appealing to them, asking them to decide these matters. Don't be taking it to unbelievers outside the church. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.